Make sure you have a Bible close to you. I don't really think I'm preaching. I'm just going to share some scripture. I had something else in another direction I was going, and then something happened. I know God has his mind made up. It's just me, I guess. Out of hosting the presence, talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit, there is nothing to replace a divine encounter with God. Everyone must have their own. Tragically, many stop short of a divine encounter because they are satisfied with good theology. Once a concept is seen in Scripture, it can be shared with others even though there is no personal experience to back it up. True learning comes in the experience, not the concept by itself. Often we have become guilty of only looking for something to happen to us that is on our list of what constitute a biblical encounter with God. The list of various experiences discovered in Scripture do not contain God, they reveal him. Do you hear that? They don't contain God, they reveal him. How many of you ever said, if God can do it for someone, he can do it for me? How many are ready to step into that? How many know Moses had a face-to-face conversation with God? How about us? We ready for that? In other words, he is bigger than his book. You ever think about that? God is bigger than the Bible. The Bible reveals us to him, but there's more to God than just in the book. And I'm not putting down the Bible. How many have ever read, if everything that was Jesus did was in the Bible, the world couldn't contain it? Everything Jesus did is not in the Bible. But the Bible is our mainstay. In other words, he is bigger than his book and is not limited to doing the same thing always in the same way. Keep in mind, the method of salvation can be different. The purpose of salvation is always the same. Salvation is always through the blood. He continues to be creative each time, revealing the wonder of who he is. We must encounter one who is bigger than we are in every possible way until he leaves a mark. This is wonderful, it's glorious, and it's scary. You say, what are you talking about? How many of you have ever thought that if God was really done with us, he'd take us home? If we no longer had a purpose, if God's plan was complete, we wouldn't be here. If he had no use for us. The rapture would happen, we'd be caught away, we'd be in heaven, and we'd be forever happy. God's grace is so much deeper than what we've experienced. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 that we are, as Peter comes to the end of his chapter, he says, but grow in grace and knowledge. Growing in grace brings us revelation of God. How many of you have ever sung the song, It Is No Secret What God Can Do? How many of you have ever really listened to the words, what he's done for others, he'll what? He'll do for you. There are things about an encounter with God that may make us hide our heads and say, Wow. But after that encounter with God, you're ready to encounter the devil. You're ready to encounter other people. You're ready to encounter all the things that Satan is using to disguise his presence in America. God never called us to confusion. I read things and I ask myself at times, especially on the internet, where'd they come from? How can somebody think like that? How in the world can people write this about the God we serve, thinking that he's old or he's naive or he has Alzheimer's or there's something wrong with him? I look at that and say, how did they ever get an image of God? You know how they got an image of God? Because they thought about it. And they put the picture of God into who they think he is instead of allowing the Spirit of God to reveal who he is to them. You may say, well, you're just rambling. No, I want you to understand something. The concept of God is received from the Word of God. The concept of God is received from the Word of God and from the revelation of the Holy Spirit. The Bible shows us the Father. The Bible shows us the heart of the Father. The Bible shows us the plan of God. I believe that every scripture in that book is inspired by the Holy Spirit. But if people say things long enough and long enough and long enough, people will believe it. Let's go deep for a minute. Just hold on. I'm not trying to be mean. I just want... Somebody said they were at a funeral of a man who committed suicide. And all they heard is that God took him. God didn't take him. God receives us. But let me tell you something else about suicide. After going through it this week, this past week, if you're not, you know, and I'm not saying, because somebody asked me that. I was sitting with somebody this week and they were talking about somebody who committed suicide, and they said, well, that sends them right down there, doesn't it? And I said, not necessarily. And you would say, what are you talking about? If somebody's going through a mental breakdown, a mental disease, and they don't know what they're doing, that's a whole different story. But I'm going to leave it there. Suicide is an eternal solution to a temporary problem. And understand something. If you're not a Christian before you do it, you're not a Christian after you do it. It's the same thing with cancer. If you're not a Christian before you die of cancer, you're not a Christian afterwards. Death is not redemptive. No matter what people say, no matter what the preacher preaches, no matter what's going on, if people don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and I'm not trying to be hard, they're not going to heaven. Either that is true or God's a liar. There is no universal salvation. Salvation is for those who receive Christ. As many as receive Christ, to them gave he the power, the ability, the authority to become the children of God. Okay, look at me. Say, I love pastor fearing. Don't lie now. If you lied when you said that, I'm going to give you a moment right now to repent, okay? What we need in America, despite of what we're hearing politically, what we need in America is more of God, not less. What we need in America is more of God's word and more of Christians experiencing God's grace, God's love, God's power, God's anointing, God's energy. than what we're seeing. I want to take you to four or five things, and I'm going to do it real quick. I know you've been here a while. Of groups of people and individuals who had God encounters. I want you to understand something, and I'm not minimizing salvation. This walk with God is deeper than salvation. Although salvation is the most important, the most exciting miracle we can have, we get saved so we can have a relationship. We get saved so we can experience God. We get saved because He loves us and His grace and mercy is abundant. But please, once you accept Christ, don't hang your hat in the wall and stop seeking God. Take your Bible and turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. If you're familiar with the Bible, you know what Acts chapter 2 is about. There were 120 people in a place called the Upper Room, and God showed up. Hello. I'm not stepping on your toes. I'm not judging you. I'm just saying there's more to the walk in Christ than salvation. I love the Savior. But how many of you love the Holy Spirit? How many realize you need the Holy Spirit? How many realize an encounter with the Holy Spirit will set you on fire to do the ministry that God's called you to do? And every one of you have divine purpose in your cell, in your DNA. Nobody here, nobody here today can say, God has no plan and purpose for my life because Jesus died for you, the Holy Spirit wants to fill you, and He wants to anoint you to fulfill the purpose through God's grace, His mercy, and His love. Curtis, say amen instead of just looking at me. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came from sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Regardless of what you hear, this is not about tongues. Don't turn me off now because you're some other area and your tongues is threatening to you. This is about the Holy Spirit. This is about a divine encounter with God that Jesus prophesied in Luke chapter 24 and verse number 49, where He said, "But you go to Jerusalem and tarry there until you be endued with power from on high, clothed with the Holy Spirit." How many of you object to being clothed with the Holy Spirit? That's what that word endued means. It means to be clothed. It means like getting up in the morning and getting dressed. It means the Holy Spirit dresses us. And we're walking in that anointing and we're walking in that power. Some people don't realize that the Old Testament saints could see something happening but couldn't experience it. They could see it, they knew about it, they wrote about it, they talked about having a new heart and a new spirit, and they talked about a life where God indwelt them. We have that experience, both of them. God wants to give us and gives us a new heart, a new mind, and awakens our spirit. And the Holy Spirit takes up residency within you. When God tells you to do something, He's not telling you, go out and do it by yourself. These 120 people had a God encounter that absolutely changed their life. And now the church argues about it. It's open. We need to experience the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it. We need Him. We need to be saturated with that God encounter. And friend, if you have Him once come into your life, don't stop praying in the Spirit. Don't stop praying in tongues. Don't stop and give up. Why should I not give up? Because you leak. You say, what are you talking about? Every time you minister somebody, you give out the Holy Spirit. Every time you come in contact with somebody, you are giving them the grace of God through the Holy Spirit with love and compassion and mercy. And I'll tell you something, you give out and give out and give out without ever taking in, you become weak. God wants to keep filling you. It's not a one-time process. The Bible says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. It means keep on keeping on being filled. Amen? Amen. Come on. This God encounter turned people like Peter. What did Peter do at the cross? What did Peter do when he asked, sure, you're one of these men. What did he do? He denied. Did he lie? Did he sin? Lying still a sin? Okay, we're not sin conscious, but lying is sin. So he denied that he knew Jesus after spending 3.5 years with him, and he ran. And then he went out and wept bitterly. But you know something? Back there, even God's grace was moving because the angel came and said, go tell my disciples and Peter. Go tell his disciples and Peter that he's risen. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when they made fun of them and said, these men are drunk with new wine, Peter said, no, 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 time out. We're not drunk. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. On my maiden and your old men shall dream dreams. How many of you guys are dreaming? Had any dreams yet, Stan? He has a lot. I think even Kirk's having, well, forget it. They had a God encounter. Now, what did that God encounter do? Go with me to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. This is what I want you to learn about God encounters. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb. Okay, you've heard me say this again. How long had he been carried to the temple? So Jesus probably walked by him. Okay, we okay with that? Jesus walked by him? Was carried to whom they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered, who seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple asked for alms, and fixing his eyes upon him, Peter said, look at us. So he gave him his attention, expecting to receive something. And Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Stand up and walk. And he took him by the hands and lifted him up. And he went walking and leaping and praising God. Look at me. Don't miss this. Peter gave to this man what the Holy Spirit had given to him. I want you to see that. Peter walked where the lame man was laying, and because he had had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, he took from that encounter with the Holy Spirit with the boldness and confidence that we heard about this morning and said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk, because I'm giving you what I've been given. See that? What have we been given? We've been given the very same thing that the Holy Spirit gave to Peter. And so too often we find a chance to bring someone in on a God encounter, and we're looking, but me? How about, you mean I have to do that? You mean I need to pray for that person? You need, I'm expected to minister that person? They're looking at me and wanting to receive something from me, and God is saying, stop it! What have you encountered? What have I poured into you? All you have to do is pour out what I've given you. Love the way you're shouting. It's true, isn't it? Isn't it? Absolutely, radically true. We think we have to stir something up or get something going. When you're walking with God and God encounters, and you can have daily God encounters, you're full and you're ready to pour out. It's not a panic. I got a call the other night, a little after 10. Just about ready to close these little eyes and go to sleep, you know. Got to get my rest now. Phone rings. Somebody's really hurting because somebody in their family is really sick. So I said, can I call you back in about an hour? I got to pray for an hour before I can pray for you. No. Can I put you on hold for a few minutes while I contact God? No. We need a flow. We need to be instant in season, out of season. Amen? And we prayed. I didn't feel anything special. I talked to the person last night who called me, and she said, things are better. Things are better. After the prayer, things are better. Did I do anything? No. All I did was pray. Your God encounter is filling you so you can give somebody else, through the power of the Holy Spirit, their own God encounter. And Jerry says something all the time. We need to keep praying in the Spirit. We need to keep praying in the Spirit. That is absolute fact. We need to pray in the Spirit. And trust God. Somebody said, I read a while back, I can't think of the old evangelist that said it. He said, you can go to heaven two ways. And I thought, whoa, what's happened to him? He says, you can go to heaven with the concept, whenever I'm afraid, I'll trust in God. Or you can go to heaven with the concept, I'll trust and not be afraid. Which way do we want to go? Turn with me to Acts chapter 8. I'll go through these last couple real quick. Verse number 5. Well, let's go to verse 4. Therefore, those who were scattered whenever we were preaching the word. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed, and the lame were healed, and there was great joy in the city. Have you ever thought, Can we just stretch your faith for a moment? Have you ever thought that you having a God encounter can bring a God encounter to your city? Do you think God wants to bring a God encounter to Sisseton or Wabe or Roswell or Roy Lake or wherever you live, Effington, Roslyn? Do you understand that as you allow God to encounter you, that you can be the catalyst to change the whole area you live in? Now, I'm not going to brag on anything, but I'm going to tell you something. And I'm not saying other part of South Dakota or Wyoming or Utah or wherever we've been lately are atheists. I'm not saying that. But I believe that people praying for this region has helped farmers to have a good crop. I believe that. Give the Lord a hand, because we're blessed and we don't talk about it. And whether or not your crop looks as good as somebody else's, I want to tell you something. We saw corn this high in Wyoming. We saw beans that were like this. And I just been telling everybody that I talk to, we need to thank God for what we got. And I don't minimize the effect of Frida and others praying for moisture for this area. I believe God honored it. Now, if he wants to do that with the crops, what does he want to do with the people? Come on. Take your encounter with God and share it. Philip wasn't a preacher. Philip was a deacon. Come on, all you deacons, start deaconing. Philip was a deacon. He was there. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Acts 6, pick out men who are full of the Holy Spirit. He went down to Samaria. He preached Christ. People were saved, healed, delivered, set free. And you know what happened? There was great joy in the city. Amen. Don't ever look at yourself and I'm just this or I'm just that or I'm just something else. Or I don't have the education. The ones with the education we're having problems with. Have an encounter with God. Go share your encounter with the city and watch your city change. Watch your area change. Watch God move. Number four, and I'm just going to share these quickly. I'm not even going to read it. You can read about it. Acts chapter 9. There was a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. Anybody ever hear Saul of Tarsus? He was going out to kill Christians. Isn't it amazing God will give non-believers God encounters? Hello? How many of you have always said, and I need to apologize because I preach something that may not be true. The Holy Spirit is not always a gentleman. You say, what are you talking about? You ever get knocked off your horse? As I read that this morning, I was thinking, boy, God goes to all kinds of lengths to get a hold of somebody. It's like an old preacher told me, Dwight, God doesn't make us go against our will. He just makes us willing to go. Somebody, when somebody says the Holy Spirit's always a gentleman, I'm going to say perhaps from now on. But I have one illustration where he acted a little bit differently. Does God have the right to knock you off your horse in a rodeo? We need to recognize some of these Jorgensons. They won the gold buckle Sunday in Wabe. And it wasn't James. It was the ones he trained. Isn't that great? You got that buckle on? You got a different one. Oh, you got it. Okay. See his buckle afterwards. That's his Christmas present, by the way. But Saul is going to Damascus, and God met him. God encountered him. I want to warn you of something. Because God has a plan and a purpose for your life, he may catch you unaware sometime and just show up. Is that okay? He's just going to show up. Saul was going to kill Christians. And Saul became Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Saul had an encounter with God that he wasn't expecting and probably didn't even want. But he had it. And it radically changed his life. And Paul says later, he says, on that road, God spoke to me and he wanted to turn the hearts of the people from men toward God, from darkness to light. God showed up. I got a lot more than that. I'm not going to preach it right now. I got one more I want to tell you about because this can affect you desperately. There was a God encounter at a Gentile house before the gospel was preached to the Gentile, or when the gospel was preached to the Gentiles, the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. And when I say God doesn't always do everything the same way, it's kind of normal to get saved and then get filled with the Spirit and then be anointed with gifts and then go out and do the stuff. There was something going on. I don't know what. I don't know what Peter had to say. But why he went to the house of Cornelius and why he was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell on Cornelius and his family. I've often asked the question, when did they get saved? I don't have an answer for it, but they were. But I want you to understand something. Some of you are going to be doing Bible studies in different people's homes. Some of you may do a Bible study in your own home or go share Christ with a family or go share Christ with someone. And while you're teaching them and while you're talking to them and while you're doing what God has called you to do, there's going to be a divine encounter taking place in that home. Don't ever close the book and say, well, nothing ever happens in my life. God's always willing to make something happen in your life. Because you have value and he has purpose and he wants to touch you. Here's what I want you to do though. Every day, sometime during that day, say, God, I want a deeper encounter with you. Don't do it while you're running heavy equipment. Don't do it while you're driving the tractor and combining. You may end up in the ditch. Because when God sees that you want an encounter, he's going to encounter you. And I can tell you something. It's not about you. It's about those you're going to encounter. It's for you. There's revelation. There's grace. There's mercy. Just take it and go. I want to leave you with this. Don't allow the enemy to bring your past into your God encounter. As soon as you start asking for a God encounter, Satan's going to remind you of what you aren't. Remind him of who you are. Don't look at lack, don't look at sickness, don't look at family problems, don't look at anything else. Just look to God. And don't allow the enemy to lie to you. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward. I press forward for an encounter with God. The very first encounter you will have, if you're not a Christian, is coming to Jesus Christ and accepting him as your Savior. He wants to do that today. If you don't know Jesus right now, while heads are bowed and people are just bowing their heads, just simply ask Christ to come into your life. Just say, Jesus, I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose again. I ask you to come into my life, forgive my sins, and be my Savior. The Bible says that whoever calls upon him, he'll no wise shut out. Everybody's head is bowed and nobody's looking around. Nobody's looking around. If you did that this morning, just look at me. I just want to say a prayer. Anybody do that this morning? Thank you. Anybody else? Father, I pray for that one that asked you into their lives. I ask you to touch them, break the bondage of Satan, set them free through the blood of Jesus. And Father, today the angels rejoice in heaven over one coming to you We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Make a confession with me. I am loved. I am accepted. I am anointed. The Word of God is my map. I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm living for Jesus Christ. And nothing formed against me, no words formed against me, will prosper. I'm a child of God, and I love my Father. God bless you.